Hey, everybody. Welcome to a Monday. Naomi Bromke in the studio today with Turning Point USA. This is going to be fun. Very interesting person talking about a very interesting subject. Our show today, by the way, brought to you by Simonson's Car Wash. Brought to you by Simonson Car Wash, where you'll always feel good on the road in a clean, dry, and shiny car. Get 1 month free when you buy any single wash today and experience our Fast Pass unlimited washes all month long. No contracts, no hassles, just easy billing and the freedom to wash at any Simonson Car Wash locations in North Dakota and Minnesota. Enjoy our high-powered vacuums to keep your interior spotless. We also have our free-to-use detail towels available for your convenience on site. And don't forget to mention GFBS at the sales window for your complimentary air fresheners to keep your car smelling fresh and clean. Unlimited washes, unlimited savings, Simonson Fast Pass, your ticket to a clean and happy ride. Visit us today at 310 Gateway Drive, Grand Forks, and let Simonson Car Wash take care of you so you can feel good on the road in a clean, dry, and shiny car. All right, everybody, if you have any questions or comments for Naomi Bromke with TPUSA, that's Turning Point USA, feel free to call or text our number, 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Let's do it. Let's get it out of the way, our daily segment. It's called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know you're getting older when you have a party and the neighbors don't even realize it. Nah, he didn't like that one. Naomi Bromke, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm happy and blessed to be here. So thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. What did you think of that crappy joke?
You know, it wasn't my flavor, but I appreciate it.
My neighbor, she tells some really god-awful jokes sometimes, but sometimes they're really, really funny. And that's why we, in fact, named that segment after her. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? All that kind of fun stuff.
Sure, yeah. So I'm originally from Bismarck, North Dakota. I've traveled around. I've lived in Kansas City, and I've lived in Atlanta. And I made my way back to Bismarck in July and then moved to Grand Forks like a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So, but currently I substitute teach in the school system.
Okay.
It's important to me to see firsthand what the students are facing.
Sure.
And, you know, also seeing what administration and teachers are pushing, which some of it goes against century code. So that's interesting trying to deal with that. I've made a lot of administrators upset, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, just the 15 minutes or so that we talked before we went on the air here, and now to find out that you substitute teach, I thought, well, boy, there had to be some conflicts, possibly personality conflicts, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the interesting thing about it, too, is there's policies in place to protect students from being forced to, like, look at leftist propaganda, but it still happens. So right now I'm sort of trying to battle administration and the school board in Grand Forks on these specific issues. Bismarck wasn't so bad, but it's just important to me that, you know, this kind of crap gets out of our
I like that crap. That's a good word for it. Back in my day, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah,
the three R's. And I know arithmetic doesn't start with an R, but where I'm from, it kind of did. Now, you did some time in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I make it sound like you're doing hard time there, but I've visited Atlanta a few times, and it is kind of like doing time. But your thoughts when you were in Atlanta?
Well, it's very different from North Dakota. The culture is very different. The crime rates are very different.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic is very different.
Yeah,
I would have to drive like an hour and a half, a couple times a week to go up to a training area, like a gymnastics academy or whatever. And there would just be cars like on fire.
I'm like,
this is another day.
Yeah. I used to live in California and I worked when the commute wasn't on my motorcycle. I could make it to my job, my studio, in 12 minutes. During the commute, it was about an hour.
Yeah.
And that's five lanes going one way or whatever. But if you try to sneak in between them on your motorcycle, the people would open their car doors.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez.
It's welcome to California, and I'll go home. That's the kind of bumper stickers you see when you're out there. Now, looking at your bio, I guess, Naomi, I mean, opera major, stunt double. I know you're into political stuff, politics, but okay, first off, opera major. Tell us about that.
So when I originally moved from Bismarck to Kansas City, I was thinking, you know, what I wanted to do, and I really liked the arts. And to be fair, I was a little more liberal back then than I am now, but I experienced the real world.
Sure,
So
you grew up.
Yeah, right. I'm blessed to have left that blindsided side of me.
Okay.
But I mean, I loved singing. I would always compete in high school and choir in college. So I decided, well, hey, I like this and I like performing, so let's try opera. And it was when COVID hit.
Yeah.
So singing over Zoom was one of the worst experiences of my life. And now I have like 30 grand in student loans from singing over Zoom.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
I'm like singing with a mask on, like once a week I would go in and I'm like,
yeah, wow.
I know. And then I decided to drop out and I got some of my tuition money back.
Okay.
So
now if you hear a great song on the radio, you know, maybe this is Naomi's jam. Do you sing it? Opera?
No.
Or do you sing it like it's supposed to be?
I sing it like it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I guess it's supposed to be. I'm a music freak.
Okay.
Myself. And even opera. Not a lot of people can say that. I pretty much like all genres. So, okay. Now being a stunt double.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
How did all of this, and tell us some of the stuff you've done.
Sure. So I started, I got into it through a play I did at Bismarck State College. It was called She Kills Monsters, and there was a ton of sword work in it, and I really liked that. So after moving to Kansas City, I was like, well, I want to start making like little fights in my backyard and just see, you know, if people want to do this kind of stuff. So I did, and the fights were horrible, but I was trying, and that's what mattered, because no one was trying to be down there. So I got picked up pretty quickly by this small stunt company in Kansas City, and we did gigs. Like I helped coordinate one of our people on an NFL commercial. He was a little kid that got like tackled by like one of the Chiefs football players.
So
that was really fun. But I feel like in that market, I sort of hit my peak. I started doing martial arts, and just doing all of the stunt stuff I could. And I loved Kansas City, and I got to the top of that market, and I was like, well, I want to take this seriously. So I moved to Atlanta, and that's what people are sort of calling like the new Hollywood or whatever.
Yep.
So I was very, very, very blessed to be able to work on two pretty big projects my first year down there. I'm also a part of SAG-AFTRA, which is a union, which it's not a great union, so whatever.
Yeah, well, they strike.
Well, that's why I moved back, was because of the strike.
Yep.
But anyways, so I got cast to do stunt doubling on season 3 of the HBO Max show, The Righteous Gemstones. I stunt doubled for Kristen Johnston, so that was really cool. I did a car hit the first episode of season 3, episode 1, and then I did some stunt driving at the end of the season. So that was a lot of fun. When I saw the car hit, it looked so wild compared to what I feel like I actually did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was crazy. I did it like 5 times and there's a bunch of like background people and they're all like looking at me and I'm just like, I'm just like here doing a job. Like, this is fun, but I don't know.
So did they, every time you had to redo it, did you have to get a different car or, okay. How in the heck, for being as young as you are, you've been all over and done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
The stunt driving, we were talking earlier before we went on the air. I know some race car drivers that should probably go to the same schooling you went to, but, we're racetrack announcers here, but, talking to you, how old did you say you were?
I'm 24.
You're 24 and you've, wow. This is crazy for me. Normally, I talk to people in their 40s that haven't done everything you have, but what haven't you done? I mean, do you want to keep doing the stunt things, or is it time to, that's just a chapter that you can talk about and have a good time talking about it?
I'm still trying to decide, but I feel like, so I worked on a Daily Wire film. I worked on Lady Ballers that came out. It's a very, very funny movie. I feel like I would like to continue to work in the conservative movie scene. But I, at the end of the day, I'm sort of like, God, take me where you will. And, you know, just whatever he wants to do to help me or help further his kingdom through me. That's, you know, what.
You mentioned the word conservative. It sounds like earlier in your life, you maybe weren't as conservative.
Oh, absolutely.
And what made you change your mind? Or change? It's funny. Before you answer, my mother-in-law, God bless her, she passed away a few years back, but she was a Democrat.
true.
And she was one of those ladies that would sit and yell at the TV and Fox News all day long, you know, and cuss the TV out and call them donkeys or whatever. Yeah. And then one day my wife said to her mom, you know, you're really a Republican. And she goes, no, I'm not. From that day on, she was a staunch Republican because but it was just like, boom. Yeah. And for you, how did that happen?
Well, so after I dropped out of University of Kansas, I picked up my schooling online just while I was doing stunts because I wanted to get my bachelor and I was thinking about going to law school anyways to maybe do entertainment law just because the union I'm a part of is just not great.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up getting a philosophy degree on a pre-law track, and I think then is sort of when my mindset began to change because a lot of things that I had previously believed didn't really add up logistically, and I was able to think about things at a deeper level than what I had previously been doing. So I also think that at the closer that I got to God and going to church and really making that a part of my life, because I mean, my dad's a pastor, but in Kansas City and in Atlanta, I was sort of alone. So I wasn't forced to go to church. Not that I ever was really forced to go to church, but I felt incentivized to go to church.
Sure.
My dad was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at that point too, when I started to take my faith seriously is at another point to which I was like, okay, well, I believe that being conservative, the values that they have is godly, like being pro-life is godly, being pro-two genders is godly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that you can truly have a good relationship with Christ if you are pro-abortion. You can't kill babies.
Got to give you a round there. So when you were younger, they were serving up the Kool-Aid and you were drinking it.
Then. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Well,
okay.
It was sort of like that club mentality. You wanted to be a part of it. I mean, I was a theater major. Like, come on. Like, all of my friends were a part of that crowd. I had gay friends. I still have gay friends. Like,
absolutely.
But, like, once I began to vocalize what I believed in, they all cut me out of their lives. And I'm like, that's fine. I told them I'll always be here for you.
Yeah.
But if
I have gay friends too. I have gay relatives.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Same.
They're not trying to force me.
Yep.
They're not trying to force me to be gay. They're not trying to force me to believe in what they believe in. And they don't push it and flaunt it. And in my opinion, the most true gay people don't do that. They don't push it on you. They don't flaunt it. They don't. I mean, I think it's kind of sad even when a married couple is making out in public. I mean, come on. You can only take so much. Like, I do have a question for you. Kind of going off kilter here a little bit. You spent time in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Did you jump on the Chiefs bandwagon? And are you a Taylor Swift fan?
I am not a Taylor Swift fan.
There's another round.
No.
You know, people were saying, oh, it's a great thing for the NFL, Taylor Swift and Kelsey. Thank you for that answer,
well,
by the way.
I actually worked with Travis Kelsey on a commercial when I was in Kansas City. He showed up to set like 3 to 4 hours late.
Really?
And he brought his entire crew of people, like his friends or whatever. And they were nice, but I'm just like, they wasted.
Kind of pompous, maybe.
Yeah. I'm like,
I don't think his brother would do that. His brother would show up early with a case of beer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, okay, now we should probably, since we do have you on here for Turning Point USA, maybe we should talk a little bit about that. We're 15 minutes into it. Tell us about TPUSA, Turning Point USA. Tell us all about it. For people, I'm not kidding you, I had no idea until we started talking. Yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know what Turning Point USA is, it's sort of like a nonprofit that is at the forefront of the conservative movement right now. The founder, his name is Charlie Kirk. He started this a few years ago, I believe, just by going to college campuses and questioning students on their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just grown so much since then. I believe it's probably up. It's like the Daily Wire and Turning Point USA sort of are like clashing heads. Mm-hmm. But they're like the two conservative of... they're at the forefront of the conservative movement. So with Turning Point USA, they have like sort of like actionable factions, whereas the Daily Wire, I don't believe, does. So they have a high school department, they have a college department, they have a faith department, and then they have the actual action department, which is 501c4, so they can endorse candidates and help people out. And actually, with the NDGOP, there was a few people that were endorsed by Charlie Kirk that ended up being endorsed at the convention. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I work for the faith department. My dad's a pastor and he's great. He's inspired so many people to talk about these moral issues that have been politicized from the pulpit. Not in a way where it's like you need to vote for X, Y, and Z, but like as a Christian, here's why you should be pro-life. Here's why you should be pro two genders. So ever since I moved back in July, I started a part-time position with Turning Point USA Faith. So I've just been going around to churches, seeing who's interested. We host like biblical citizenship classes, which is by the Patriot Academy, which mm-hmm. Rick Green hosts. And then we hold conferences. We just try to get a lot of engagement within the civics aspect of how you should live your faith. Because, I mean, Jesus was political. He was going against the Pharisees. He was going against the Roman government. He was tried as a political prisoner. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of the disciples were tried as political prisoners.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny when you mention colleges, high schools, things like that, and when we talked about the three R's and what they're teaching in schools now and universities and colleges, throw that in there. But it's funny because you'll see these clips, and I don't know what it is, and where they'll ask a college question, a college student, a simple, simple question, and they have no clue. Is that something? What's wrong with this picture? I mean, these are things that even somebody that has no college education should know.
There should be there's no standard anymore.
No,
the
there's not.
School systems. I mean, students aren't learning things. I mean, at least in North Dakota, test scores have gone down maybe like within the past 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking into that with like the race for the mm-hmm. Superintendent of Public Instruction because I just... That stuff is so important to me.
And you can only use COVID as an excuse for so long.
I know, absolutely.
You know, and not only are they not learning, and this is horrible because some of my very good friends are educators. Some of the people I looked up to most growing up and were the biggest influences in my life were educators. I'm afraid that when this last group of old school teachers and educators is gone, what's going to happen? I mean, now these kids, it's like they're not learning. Hell, they don't even know what bathroom to use when they get done with school. You know, it was to the point where we would joke around a little bit about it, but when they would have the school board meetings on, you know, grab a case of beer, get a box of popcorn, let's sit down and watch the crap show because that's what they were turning into. Yeah. But who's to be held accountable? For this, I mean, do you just homeschool? Do you look for a different direction? You know, I don't know.
So I feel like there's a couple of different routes. I think that, you know, public schools are good. The program inherently is good because mm-hmm. a lot of people can't afford to homeschool. A lot of people are single parents that have multiple kids.
Sure.
And although that type of stuff isn't ideal, that's the reality that we live in. So I think that if we have an emphasis on education rather than indoctrination. Like the culture of stuff of school is always going to be there, but we don't need to push it.
Right.
But I would also say that a lot of it comes down to teachers and administrators not being able to act like punish the students or have consequences for their actions. Cause a lot of them don't care if they go to the principal's office or if they get suspension or whatever. So I feel like if the students that are misbehaving are put in out of school suspension, it then forces the parents to actually parent their child to mm-hmm. say, hey, you need to get your act together because this is not going to fly.
Right.
Or like have the students that are misbehaving go tour the jail because we don't want that school to crime, school to prison pipeline continuing.
Yeah.
So I would also say it needs to be harsher on students that get IEPs. So they're just like mm-hmm. individualized plans for students that have like depression or anxiety. And
sure.
A lot of them actually need those plans and do really well on it.
Yes.
But they're giving them out like candy right now. Yeah. So parents don't know or teachers don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like these students are so far behind. They're they're not going to do their homework anyways. And if they turn in their homework late, we're not going to give them consequences because then the parents are going to be mad at us. So it's like there's no accountability anywhere. I personally think that if the DPI sent in people to have like school checks, see how every single school is doing, you know, see if there's any propaganda on either side, see if like the students are being respectful of the teachers, see how the administrators and teachers are doing, I think that'd be a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about changes, Naomi, back in high school, granted, I'm old, I actually had a biology teacher. It was a college prep biology class. He's one of my favorite teachers still to this day. Looked up to the guy. He punched me in the chest so hard one time because I was cheating, and he caught me. But this is the same teacher that actually hung a guy out the third floor window by his ankles.
Oh, my gosh. Woo.
But everybody turned out fine.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. You've got these kids that they're either think they're untouchable, they can't get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But another analogy that I use a lot all the time is it all starts at home.
Absolutely.
Yep. If your kid's a rat at home, he's going to be a rat at school or wherever else. But it seems to me like and I don't want to get in trouble, but parents may be getting a little lazy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. It's now with the world of cell phones and social media, it's like, who cares if he locks himself in his room for 9 hours after they get home from school? He's got his phone. I mean, you got to engage with your kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, and this is something we're going to touch on. I mean, it's our future.
Absolutely.
And I know that's huge for you. One question before we go on break. What would you consider the mission then of Turning Point USA?
It would be to engage and equip students and adults to give them leadership skills to help them advocate confidently for their values and beliefs, creating long-lasting impact in the United States.
Perfect. Naomi Bromke is here from TPUSA. That's Turning Point USA. We've got way more questions to ask her, but let's take a little break here. I want to talk about CNH Insurance. They're in East Grand Forks. That's who Grand Forks Best Source insures with because they're good. All right. They begin with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. You know, they strive to give everybody who walks through their door special attention and, of course, the best customer service possible. It's their priority. Their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance experience, and they're licensed in North Dakota, Minnesota, and Arizona for your snowbirds, too. For all your insurance needs, anything, get a hold of Justin, Jody, or Tammy, 218-773-0287, and also drop by their offices. They're at 1427 Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. CNH Insurance, that's who Grand Forks Best Source chose. Maybe you should think about doing the same thing. CNH Insurance in East Grand Forks. Turning Point USA, TPUSA, Naomi Bromke in the studio with us. You have got, and this is what we were talking about, we were playing phone tag back and forth stuff. You got a student adult leadership conference coming up this Saturday, is it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, tell us about the conference, what it's called.
Yeah, so it's literally just called, like, Leadership Conference.
Okay. And there you go. And it's going to be out in Bismarck.
Yes, yep.
At New Song Church, 3200 North 11th Street. Okay, now, what is this conference all about? What's it for? Yeah. What's it going to do? If I was to go there, what have I learned when I've come out of there?
Sure. So, like I said, the mission of Turning Point USA, it's pretty much the same thing as this conference, is to engage and equip youth, young adults, and just adults in general, to give them leadership skills to confidently advocate for their values and beliefs, creating a long-lasting positive impact in North Dakota. So we have a ton of really, really great speakers. We have like Dr. James Lindsay. He runs around with the Turning Point USA crew, like Charlie Kirk and Riley Gaines. Mm-hmm. We had Riley Gaines actually up in Bismarck maybe a few months
ago. Did you do that interview? Riley Gaines?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a lot of cool. Fun. She's so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have Dr. James Lindsay. His entire thing is communism and Marxism and how it's infiltrated the United States, like the church, the government, the schools, all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Then we also have like North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley. We have Senator Kevin Cramer. We have a bunch of pastors. We just have an incredible, incredible lineup of people that are leaders in their communities. And it's not even all just civic stuff. I mean, there's the faith aspect of it. There's the student aspect of it. You can be a leader in any part of your life. You don't just have to be politically involved to make a change. I mean, especially when you talk about grassroots stuff, that's like the bottom up. You got to be a leader at the bottom to make changes to the top.
Do you think our leaders are born that way, or are they grow into it, or both? I guess because you know, this is basically talking about our future, our future leadership, and it scares the hell out of me. Really, it does.
Me too.
and you know, you can always remember growing up like playing a pickup game of street hockey. You know, there was always the one or two guys that took control. Okay, let's do this, that, and this, and that. Yeah. Is that just a natural thing for people? I know of some very, very quiet people that turned into some pretty good leaders, which blew me away. But is your thoughts on that?
I think that one thing to remember, especially in today's cultural climate, is being loud does not equate to being a leader. I think that people have to go through certain trials and tribulations to become leaders. Not all of them do, because some of them are just naturally like that. Mm-hmm. But at least for me, the people that have things in their past that drive them to be better people are the people that I view as, at least in my life, have been really great leaders and mentors for me.
Mm-hmm. What is your biggest lack of when it comes to leadership skills?
Like personally?
Yeah.
I think that I'm a little too intense sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I get so passionate about things, and I just want to do, like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yep. Let's just get this all done. And I think the pace at which I go sometimes is probably too quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's been something I've been trying to work on, is take things one step at a time and let God work on the stuff and mm-hmm. Have him set the timeline and not me.
So when we talk about this student adult leadership conference coming up Saturday, who are the people that you're targeting? Who would this be perfect for to go and enjoy?
Sure. So I personally would say 16 plus.
Okay.
I have a couple of people that are younger than that are coming that simply just like leadership stuff and mm-hmm. like civics. So, but I would say 16 and older, anyone that's interested in making a positive change in their community, people that want to be leaders, people that just want to see change mm-hmm. in North Dakota, but also the United States.
And, you know, these are the things when it comes to a conference like this, these are the kind of conferences, if you're paying attention out there now, people, they move you. I mean, when you walk out of there, you're going like, holy buckets. But you got to pay attention.
Absolutely.
And with the speakers you have and everything, I tell you what, I think it'd be a great one to go to. Is there a cost? Let's find out more about this. Time, cost, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So for students, we have tickets for $10. For pastors, we have tickets for $15. Mm-hmm. And then the general admission is $20. But at this point, if people want to come and financials are a barrier, we'll just give them tickets for free.
Like, sure, we just like a little scholarship.
Yeah,
type thing.
Yeah. We just would just need their name and email address, because we want everyone that is able to come to this mm-hmm. conference. I don't want finances to be a barrier.
I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, denomination or what church you to. But it's funny. It's been a while since a good friend of ours. He's old school Catholic priest, still does things what's the language I'm looking for? You know, Latin. Thank you. Still does sermons in Latin.
Wow.
But how even the Catholic Church is changing now. Yeah. He's against it. He's old school. Sure. What are your thoughts? And I guess what it boils down to is, when you believe in something for so long and you teach something and you practice something for so long, and then all of a sudden some goofy crap like that's happening around the world happens, and you just change everything. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that if there's change that's happening, it needs to come from the Bible. If there's something that's happening and it's not biblical, you don't change with it, because our battle is against flesh and blood. We should not conform to the world. Mm-hmm. We have Christ to lead us. I would also say that a lot of people confess Christ, but their actions are not biblical. They are not practicing what they preach. And, you know, Jesus said, narrow is the road and few find it. And that's one verse that has been kept close to my heart, because there are so many false prophets out there. There are so many people that are just confusing, like the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And mm-hmm. he's absolutely doing that right now. So I would just say, all in all, if it's not biblical, then there's no reason to change.
You know, you say you grew up in the home, but your dad's a pastor.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, I've known a lot of people who grew up in the same situation as you. And were you sheltered a little bit? And my next question would be, and this is obvious the answer, it seems like a lot of people that grew up in that same situation rebelled, if you will, a little bit. You seem like you're really level-headed, and I don't think you were either or, but how was it growing up with a man of faith as your dad?
Sure. So I definitely rebelled. I mm-hmm. 100% did.
Okay.
I don't think I was ever sheltered. I think my parents were pretty good about that. I mean, they wouldn't like let me watch a specific show. Whatever.
No good parent should.
Yeah. But senior year of high school and a little into junior year, I definitely rebelled. I got into partying and doing things that I should not mm-hmm. have been doing. And part of that is, you know, part of my testimony to why I'm a Christian today, because of everything that I did, you know, God still calls me his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I've done and every sin that everyone has ever committed is laid at the foot of the cross, because Jesus paid it all. So it's just to rebel and still realize that I am Christ's daughter and that nothing I could do could separate me from him is a huge reason why I'm Christian today. I, you know, for a time there, I was sort of like, I don't know if I want to be Christian. I just feel like it's forced on me. But if people really look into it and actually open their hearts with an open mind, I think that they'll come to the conclusion that Christ is real. He died and he was resurrected. And, you know, if you accept him as your savior, then you will be going to heaven.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of people. I can remember when the new movement kind of started. And when sure. I say the new movement, it used to be you always wore your Sunday best. That's what they called it. Mm-hmm. You wore your Sunday best so you could, you know, go to church. And then when you start getting older, you realize, well, maybe college kids, younger generation, maybe they don't have a whole lot of Sunday best. In my opinion, and it was put to me by a pastor one year, it doesn't matter what you dress like. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. They're not there. Some people will put it at, well, if you dress in your Sunday best, people are watching you when you walk in. It's kind of the their focus shouldn't be on you.
Sure.
It should be, you know, on it. Well, it should be what you're there for.
Sure.
But you know, you can worship God in any way you want, sure. I guess. And it, I don't know if you do it in church or whatever, but, got a question. How should Christians respond to drug addicts?
Oh, that's a good one. So, okay. So When it comes to addiction in general, I do think that it's a mindset that's very hard to get out of. You can address that to drugs, you can address that to porn, you can address that to literally anything. So I do believe that my dad actually had a situation where he found someone laying on the side of a road that was just passed out, drunk, and he flipped him off. And my dad called the cops, and he was a drug addict. And my dad began to mentor him through jail, and now he is a reformed guy, has been sober for years, Christ loving. There's an uncomfortable feeling I think a lot of people have with those types of people, because they're somewhat like unclean, like, oh, they're doing bad stuff to their body. But at the end of the day, all sins condemn us to hell.
Sure.
So I think that we extend the same grace and mercy that Christ gives to us, because without that, we would be nothing. I mean, we come from the dust, and to the dust we will return. All of us, we all have sins. So they need to be addressed with mercy and grace. But at the same time, they need to have that fist of like, oh, what you're doing is not good. We will help you through this, but you have to want it.
Because exactly.
If people don't want it, they're not going
to
change.
Yep. And I was going to add to that. And thank you, Jody. I used to be one of those people.
Yeah.
And it just comes down to the point. One day I woke up and said, man, I'm a piece of crap. I am a piece of crap. And it just stopped.
Yeah.
It stopped. Everybody, in my opinion, deserves a second chance.
Absolutely.
But you nailed it, Naomi, with the fact that you have got to want to stop before anything else is going to work. You can go to all the treatment you want. If you don't want it, it's not going to do anything.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that answer. Any other events coming up soon for you guys? Or I'm just learning all this stuff about you now, and I'm very intrigued.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So this is actually the first event that I'm hosting.
Okay.
So we plan on, I hope to make this a yearly thing. We're going to continue doing stuff throughout the state. Now that I live in Grand Forks, I would like to focus a little bit here and keep my connections in Bismarck growing.
Sure,
I think
that
there's traction with this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to do this also next year. But right now, this is our main event that we are doing for this year.
Okay, so and with the three high schools here, well, four or five when you count some of the smaller ones, but and of course the university here and the tech school, perfect age for this area.
Yeah.
All right, and would you consider yourself a leader or a follower?
I would say a leader.
Yeah.
Not by my own will, but because that's where Christ has put me.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad situation to be in to be a leader. Boy, I tell you what, there's a couple of shows we do every week that you would fit right in on. Hidden Agenda, which is a show we do tomorrow at 11, and our Common Sense Uncensored with Kit Brennan is on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. You would fit in really good with both of these shows. Okay, so let's see here. Student Adult Leadership Conference is this Saturday.
Yes, yep.
In Bismarck, and give us the gist on that, the wares and all stuff.
Yeah, so it's at New Song Church. It's 3200 North 11th Street, Bismarck, North Dakota, 58503. Registration is from 8:15 to 9 o'clock. We'll have coffee and baked goods and all that kind of stuff, so you will not be hungry throughout the entire day. And then the conference goes from 9 to 3:30, and lunch is provided. So yeah, it should be a good, fun time.
Will this be an all-day deal, half a day, or I'm just trying to get, so if people want to, you know, get a carload of people and get a carload of kids and get out there, you know, you'd still be home in time or whatever, but, wow, You're really, really passionate about this too, aren't you?
Yes.
That grin, that glow, you can tell. Is there anything else you want to get out there before we end the show?
I would just say for everyone out there, just keep us in your prayers. Pray for your pastors, pray for your government officials, pray for the state, pray for the United States, because I think a lot of the time people forget that prayer is a powerful tool.
Yeah, amen. That was good. You act like you have been doing this for a long, long time.
I have not. By the grace of God, I'm doing what I can.
you're doing awesome. Thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you, and really a pleasure to find out more about Turning Point USA. This is something I can't believe I didn't know anything about, because this is kind of right up my alley. So, Naomi Bromke, thank you.
Thank you.
And anytime you've got anything else going on, please let us know, and we'll do this again sometime.
I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Boy, what a great show. Again, it's Saturday, folks, out in Bismarck. Student Adult Leadership Conference going on. If you want to find out more, just watch the show again, or you can get a hold of us, too. All right. Our show, by the way, today was brought to you by Rumors Sports Bar and Casino. If you want to go watch the Timberwolves in their playoff run tomorrow night, be there. Rumors got TVs everywhere you go. So what you do now, if you're going to go tomorrow night, get yourself an $8 plate of boneless wings, all right? Then get yourself the world-famous beer tower, and you can watch whatever you want. If you want to watch NHL playoffs, you can watch those too. Monday night, that's tonight, DJ Trivia Night. It's a great place with a great atmosphere, room for parties. They got that $7 express lunch, great lunch and dinner specials. Open every day, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Rumors Sports Bar Casino right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Check them out. Again, thanks to Naomi Bromke for coming on the show today. Common Sense Uncensored is back at 1 o'clock this afternoon with host Kit Brennan. Now, if you care about your city, state, and or country, make sure to catch the show. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show that way. Hey, the Grand Cities are grand. Grand Forks' best source is giving them an identity again.